Could we turn to John 4:48 for a verse there before we get into the verse list, actually? This will be about the body of Christ, and we'll be looking at mostly about what the Scripture says about there being two groups of churches during the Acts period, the period of time covered by the book of Acts. And John 4:48, then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that was a statement of fact. The Lord also wanted them to believe. And they, as we know, they didn't. Romans 10:8. But that's a statement that they needed signs. I don't know why they needed them more than the rest of the world, or if they were created that way, or if it's... I don't know. But I believe the text there. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Look in what Paul wrote now. Let's go down to 1 Corinthians 1:22. Do I have sound? Anybody hear me? 1, 2, 3. Good. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign. Same thing. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. You're wondering what a Greek is? It's not someone from Greece. It's not a Greek national. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Let's go on. Later on in the same epistle, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 21 and 22, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. It says, will I speak unto this people. Do you know what speak? You understand the word speak. It's not hard to understand. It's making something known. It's not a unknown language, put it that way, being as kind as I can about it. He says, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Well, this people means Israel in the Bible. That's what he's talking about. And if you go back, those first two verses we read, John 4:48, says that the Jews needed a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign. And here he's saying, I will speak unto this people with tongues and men of other lips. Well, that's a sign. But it shows that the signs are for Israel. And yet, for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign. They're not just a spiritual toy. It's not just for self-gratification of some sort. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. So when you hear believers talking in tongues, it says not for them, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So tongues were, at least these tongues, remember there are at least five different types of tongues, but at least this type of tongues was evangelistic. It was for those that do not believe. They were going to hear and understand, will I speak unto this people? They would hear it, the gospel. It was a means of getting the gospel to those that did not know the language being spoken, unless if it would be other tongues being spoken by those people that did not ever learn that language. So, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And you remember, the prophet was the one that acknowledged that what Paul had written or spoken was the word of God. They discerned. The Lord gave them a special gift. to be able to verify and confirm that this is the word of God being spoken by Paul. Prophesying serveth not for them that believe not. If you're not going to believe the Bible, it doesn't help to have God verify it. Them that believe not, that's not what the prophesying is for. It's for those who are going to believe the Bible and the words on the page. So, going on, we read yesterday in the lesson, Paul activated Isaiah's curse, reciting it to Israel at the end of Israel's Acts history, there in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, verses 23 to 29, in that area. Let's read, go through that again and read that. Acts 20, thanks Vic for posting those. Acts 28, starting with verse 23, and I don't know if you've got the verse list. I'll just shoot it to you though in PM, and that way I'll be sure, or you'll be sure. No, it didn't come. just a second here. Let me hold on. Copy, paste, send. There we go. That's it. All right, back to the lesson. Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Well, if he's persuading about who Jesus is, he was giving them God's testimony of who Jesus is. That's the gospel of God. That's the definition or explanation of the gospel of God. He was trying to get Jews to believe that which they did not believe that caused them to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, a turnaround, a change of mind, like Paul had on the road to Damascus. He's trying to get these individuals, Jews that he had gathered there, hierarchy Jews, actually. So it says he persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening, and some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, that's Isaiah, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive. So Israel became fully blinded. Verse 27, For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Again, fully blinded. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. That's different than in the other two places where that sending to the Gentiles is spoken. It's a different, it's an actual sending, and you can compare all three, but this one is the thrust of an apostolic sending. I mean, it's well, that's witnessed by the end of the book being just three verses later. There's nothing more in Acts to present. I mean, no more Acts of the Apostles. Israel had been cast away and blind. Let's read the rest of it. And when they had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. Well, they're still reasoning today. They could reason all they wanted to. Israel had just completed its diminishing that was told about in Romans 11:14. Excuse me, 11, 11 verse 12, they were being fully blinded at that time by that curse. The Lord waited until Paul read that curse from Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. They were cast away from God. Lo am I. No longer God's people. Now, there is, I'm not saying that at that time they became lo am I. They may have. I'm not sure whether it was then or in Acts 7. That's a whole study to do, I think. But lo am I, there was this diminishing between the fall of Israel in Acts 7 and the casting away of Israel in Acts 28. And lo am I was involved there at one end or the other, or the entire diminishing. So there are two groups of churches during the time up to Israel's casting away. And actually, it goes beyond that, because believing Israel was not cast away. It was apostate Israel. And after the end of Acts, Paul wrote to Titus, and in Titus 1:10, he mentions the circumcision. That's one group of the churches, one of the groups of churches, the kingdom church. So, believing the Bible, if we use our flesh or our preconceived ideas as our authority, we're in error. And it's difficult to filter that out, okay? But that's what our goal is. And we try to go over it and make sure that we're just believing what the Bible says and not putting our own opinion in there as if it was Bible. Okay, we can trust what God says, but we can't trust what my opinion is or somebody else's opinion as being Scripture. So, and you can easily see two different groups of churches during Acts. Israel's gospel of the circumcision and the kingdom church, that whole system was diminishing. Romans 11:12. Now if the fall of them, of Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Someday out in the future, Israel is going to be full. They're going to have a fullness of blessing. A fullness. Don't want to add that, but it will be blessed for them. But the scripture says fullness. Okay, Paul's preaching of the gospel of the uncircumcision and the body of Christ churches, that whole system was increasing. And let me just remind you and bring to mind that image of the thought of the block of cheese, a brick of cheese that you cut diagonally from the upper left to the lower right. And Israel was diminishing like the left wedge of the block, but the body of Christ was increasing like the right wedge of the block. So we see in Acts 16 verse 5, and so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. And that's talking about the body of Christ churches. Israel's 12 apostles never offered the kingdom from heaven to Israel after Stephen's stoning. After Israel fell, that kingdom offer of an at-hand kingdom that would have come immediately had they believed, starting with the tribulation, okay, and then the millennial reign of Christ after that, would have come if they had believed that he was the Messiah, the risen Christ. So the 12 apostles never offered that kingdom coming out of heaven to earth after Stephen was stoned when Israel fell. That contrasted with Paul's expanding his preaching of salvation through the gospel of Christ and his preaching of the body of Christ and about heaven being our destiny. So, again, you can see one diminishing while the other is increasing. It's not that the doctrine was changed in Israel to be, instead of faith and keeping the covenants and the law, instead of that, to just faith that Christ died for my sins. It's not just a change of doctrine. It's a change, a whole change. Welcome to the room, those that came in since we started. One system was dying, that was going away. That would be Israel. They were, in that whole process, they were lo am I. That was part of their, and lo am I just meaning that they are not any longer God's people. And God is no longer their God. That's going to change if you read the next verse. That's Hosea 1:9. Hosea 1:10 tells what happens after we're caught up to be with the Lord. And Israel's prophecy starts again. It's on hold right now. So nothing in the world that's happening has to do with Israel's prophecy. Or Israel entering the land, being the head, and the nations being the tail. Any of those prophecies. They're waiting until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then God starts working with Israel again when we're caught up to be with the Lord. So, both groups of churches, you can see in the interaction. For one place would be Acts 15. That whole meeting was between the two groups of churches, the representatives of the two groups of churches. And we can see the two groups sometimes interacting. In Acts, you'll find both the Gentiles, like Cornelius, believing Peter's telling of Israel's gospel of the circumcision, leading into Christ's earthly kingdom church. While at the same time, there are Gentiles believing Paul's gospel of the uncircumcision into the church, which is his body, the heaven-bound body of Christ. So Gentile, you can't just say one's a Gentile church and one's a Jewish church, because there were Jews and Gentiles in Israel's program, and there were Jews and Gentiles in, let me just restate that, there were former Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. They all become as without Israel, without any help from Israel, apart from Israel, to come into the body of Christ by the gospel. By the gospel. Look at Romans 10, and we'll start with 14, verse 14, going to verse 14 and 15. Romans 10. How then shall they call on him? This is a very telling passage. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You know, if you don't believe there's a God, you're not going to say, God, help. Well, in foxholes, there's no atheists, they say. So, I guess. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So, if they haven't even heard there is a Christ or a Savior, they can't put their trust in him, can they? Generally speaking, there is Romans 1, 19 and 20 and 21 in that area there, but for extreme cases. But it goes on, how shall they hear, how can they hear the gospel to be saved in order to believe it? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Up to the point he wrote Romans here in Acts 20, verse 3, he had not yet been sent to all men. And that's what he's talking about here. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He had been preaching the gospel of salvation, but his sending was to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1, 16. 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. His sending was to the Jews and the Greeks. And, you know, if others heard, that's fine. You know, if they believed, that's fine too. They would be saved. But his concentration, his sending, his commission, those to whom he wrote epistles were the Jews and the Greeks. So when he says, you were under a schoolmaster, He's not wrong because we weren't under the schoolmaster. He wasn't talking to us. We were in the dispensation of the grace of God, not the dispensation of the gospel, which he's talking to. Both are in the body of Christ. Both hear the same saving message. It's just that his sending was limited to the Jews and the Greeks until he was sent to all men, just three verses after he wrote Romans. Three verses in Acts after he wrote Romans. So, to be part of Israel's kingdom believers church, a person had to hear the gospel of the kingdom and the promise, and accept the conditions of the gospel, the promise of a kingdom coming. They had to believe it. That's what they had to believe. To be part of the church, the body of Christ, a person had to hear the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the grace of God, and believe it. Now, if you believe... This had to be at that time. The kingdom church is not being offered anymore. That gospel is not being offered anymore. That's on hold until the church, the body of Christ, is filled up and caught up to be with the Lord. So today there is only one gospel that works. And you have to believe the gospel of Christ or the gospel of the grace of God to be part of the church, the body of Christ. That's the only choice right now. Either believe it or don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you're still under condemnation. So it can be determined which church a person was in back then by finding out which gospel they had heard and believed. A person would not be in Jerusalem's kingdom, what's often called the kingdom church or the church of God, by believing Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, because they would be, they wouldn't have believed, they wouldn't even have heard the gospel of the kingdom. They would have heard Paul's gospel. So a person could not be in the body of Christ by believing Israel's gospel of the kingdom preached by Peter, like Cornelius. He heard Peter preach Israel's gospel. He wouldn't be in the body of Christ. He would have heard the gospel of circumcision. He would have believed the gospel of circumcision, and he would have received what the gospel of the circumcision promises, a place in the kingdom as it comes, if he endures to the end. For us, there's no enduring to the end before we get saved. We're saved upon believing. That's part of the benefit of Paul's... It's great that God set it up that way. Paul never speaks of us having to endure to the end. Christ had to endure through the cross. All our sins, you cannot die with sin on you if you're a saved person. All your sin has gone through the utmost wrath of God on the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. Okay? Galatians 2:20. So, each church starts with believers of the gospel of those respective churches. I mean, it's each individual church, they hear one gospel or the other, and that's what they believe. You hear it, then you believe it, and God blesses you with whatever the promise of that gospel is. In other words, Cornelius isn't in the body of Christ. That wasn't part of the gospel he heard. The part, what he would be in, would be the coming kingdom, if he endured to the end. So, look at the difference in the church traits, the characteristics of the different churches. And let's look at the Matthew 16 church, the kingdom church, called in the Bible the Church of God. And it started just after Christ said, "I will build my church." In Matthew 16, verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, Thou, in other words, he's pointing away from him. Thou, not me, thee, not me, you. But it's thou, so that thou art Peter. And upon this, now that's first person, that's pointing at himself. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So those hearing and believing the gospel of the kingdom were water baptized into Israel's kingdom church. The kingdom was to be a kingdom of priests. Priests had to be washed before they could serve in the office of priesthood. So the water baptism. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, this started, remember, there was Gentiles coming into Israel. There was a mixed multitude coming out of Egypt. There was Rahab on the other side of the Jordan that did not turn over the Jewish spies to the police there in Jericho. She sent the police out another way and said, hurry, if you hurry, you can find them. They went over that way. And then she let them go, and they said, put a red string down from your window, and we won't destroy your house. And she and all that was in her house were saved from that destruction of Jericho. Ruth also. So there were Gentiles coming into Israel's doctrine and belief and gospel. Until now. Not now, but the verse we're reading. Until Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. In other words, don't offer this kingdom to them. This is for Israel only. Israelites, descendants of Jacob, that the promise was made, the seed of Abraham. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. That was a mixed pool. They were Jews that were mixed with the Gentiles. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they were preaching the kingdom. The kingdom would have come in soon after that had they believed. And that's why it was being limited to just the Jews. Verse 8, heal the sick. Look at these signs. The Jews require a sign. The signs that the kingdom was at hand. These were things that were prophesied that would be part of the kingdom. Healing, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And look what happened when they did that. Look at Luke 7, verses 29 and 30. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But, verse 30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So they didn't want any part of it. They didn't want part of that kingdom church. Another place it says we might lose our place and our nation, our place and our nation. And I don't remember where that is. You can look it up. Israel's kingdom church was added to in Acts 2:41. Welcome to the room. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word, they heard it, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and we're going to go through verse 47 here. Verse 42 says in Acts 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And listen to this. The Lord added to the church daily such as were saved. No, it doesn't say that, does it? They weren't saved yet. Such as should be saved. So Israel doesn't get immediate salvation. Israelites didn't back then. They had to wait, and we'll see when they waited to. In case I don't get to it, they get their sins blotted out at the return of Christ. Zechariah 13:1, Acts 3:19-21, and 1 Peter, first chapter. So, but the kingdom church got scattered. There was a persecution. Well, let's read it. Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that would be the death of Stephen, Holy Ghost-filled Stephen, being stoned for what he spoke from the Holy Ghost, to the high priest and the council and the elders and scribes and the people there in Acts 7. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And as they scattered, look what happened in Acts 11, verses 19 and 20. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but only the Jew. I got that wrong. Let me get it right. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So by Acts 11, it was still being preached only to the Jews among the apostles and the Israelites. They weren't sharing it. They were still going by that Matthew 10 verses 5 through 8 or so. Warning or instructions of the Lord not to share it with Gentiles, not to preach the gospel that the kingdom is right at hand here, not to preach that to Gentiles, only to the Jews. So it says in verse 20, Acts 11 verse 20, let me just get the last part of what these ones that were scattered, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, I've heard both sides, but it just doesn't seem to fit the other way. These Grecians had to be Greek-speaking Jews. They were Jews, just like the ones that flooded into Jerusalem at the Pentecost feast. They came from Libya, from all these different countries that are named, been brought up there, learned the foreign language, and many of them didn't know whatever language the Israelites were speaking, Hebrew, or at least not very well. And so these apostles went out speaking in tongues, and every man heard. You know, for instance, who would pick one? Andrew, one of the 12 apostles. He was out there speaking, and the Libyan would hear him in his language, and the Egyptian would hear him in his language. It was a supernatural thing. It wasn't that nobody could understand what was being said. We've just read 1 Corinthians 14:21, I think it is, that the Lord will speak unto this people. Speak. Make it known, not make it hidden. So, verse 21, and the Lord, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So, Peter, in Acts, no, Matthew 16, verse 19, loosed Israel's kingdom church from adding to their number, and he bound the world evangelism, the evangelism part of that, beyond Israel, bound that over to Paul. We can see that in Galatians 2, verse 9 and 10. We'll look at the two of them. Starting with Galatians 2, 9, and when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul speaking, they gave to me and to Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. They limited themselves to go to the believing, the true circumcision, the ones that they were already ministering to, the ones in the church of God in Jerusalem there, the little flock. Verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So that's an early indication there, or a reminder that the Lord charged the body of Christ churches to keep that circumcision church, the church of God, the true Israelites, keep them alive. They had sold everything they had, laid it at the feet of the apostles, expecting the kingdom to come in. They believed and obeyed. And the Lord didn't desert them either. The body of Christ churches gave over and over, time after time, to keep them alive, keep them from starving. But later on, through attrition, since they were not adding to that, they were, you know, it says that they would go unto the circumcision, the 12 apostles. They preached to the ones that were in their group and didn't add to it. And through attrition, Israel's Church of God faded away during the next 30 years or so, until the last reference to them would be Titus 1:10. And it's not a good reference. I mean, it's good reference. It's not a good report of them, though. So, we'll contrast a little more closely the two churches, two groups of churches, and their characteristics. We're going to consider the church, the body of Christ, to see if they match or if they differ from the traits or characteristics, corresponding traits in Israel's kingdom, church of God. I don't know if you can understand that. I'm listening to myself let me try that again. We're going to consider the characteristics of the body of Christ church to see if they're the same or different from the characteristics of the church, the Israel's church, the kingdom church of God. You know, the Israel, the, run by the little flock, Peter, James, and John. So, the body of Christ began with the gospel of Christ, which was committed to Paul, and he dispensed it. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Well, what then is my reward? No, excuse me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ, there he names the gospel he would be preaching, make it without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So, this dispensation of the gospel of Christ was committed unto Paul. And if we look in Galatians 1:11-12, he talks about how he got that gospel. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that initial revelation on the road to Damascus and other revelations, he said he had abundance of revelations. And that's where we get, you know, he wrote what the Lord said, wrote it down in epistles, and we've got it in our Bible in Romans through Philemon. That's the part of the Bible that applies to Gentiles instead of to Israel. That's very important for us to keep up with, to read, to study, and to know that that's for us. So the rest of it, the rest of the Bible, study it too. It helps our understanding. That's according to Romans 16, 25 and 26. That's the third thing that establishes us, makes us immovable. It starts with believing his gospel, and then the edifying that comes from hearing and studying and preaching the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the telling of the secret that had been kept secret since the world began, but now is manifest, now is made known in the scriptures. So those hearing and believing the gospel of Christ are baptized. Not, it doesn't say we're baptized into water. It says we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. So it's one baptism, but it's not into water, it's into Christ. And it's not done by Christ like Israel's baptism in Acts 2:33. Jesus Christ in heaven receives the Holy Ghost from the Father and sheds the Holy Ghost on those believers in Acts 2 and in Acts 4:31. It comes from Christ is the baptizer, and they're baptized with the Holy Ghost. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It's a different baptism, different baptizer, different type of baptism. And it's the one baptism that Paul says is remaining. So, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 27 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 and 27. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. In other words, all that are baptized into the body, not just some of them, all of them. The only way into the body of Christ is by the Spirit baptizing into it. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Made to. It's not something you work at. You don't practice it. like I hear... classes, hear of classes to practice how you can speak in tongues so you can show evidence of your salvation. No, that's nothing like that in the Bible. And verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 27. So the body of Christ, it was added to. And you can see another reference to that. Those that were added, look in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Again, no water in there. It's talking about being baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now we know Christ is the head in heaven, but we are the body of Christ on earth. And look at the difference here of who builds the churches, the two churches. Hold on just a second here. Yeah, in Matthew 16, it's not in the verse list, but it's Matthew 16, 18, I think it is, verse 18. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. That's that kingdom church with the little flock, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas. That's those. Now, look at what the body of Christ is told. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So it's everyone in the body of Christ that builds the body of Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. And that has to do with recognizing that He is the foundation. And who He is, that He's the Son of God, that He is the Messiah, and that He's the first to rise from the dead, the resurrection. Firstborn from the dead, He's called, Colossians 1:18. So, there in the first, in verse 10, you've got a reference to every person in the body of Christ building it, building the body of Christ. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, so there's a second reference to the people building it. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work, there's a third reference, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it for the kingdom, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? It's talking about your work, not your works, your work. Go to verse 14. Here's the fourth reference. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, a fifth reference. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, that judgment that they go through there, no one can end up in hell. He himself, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It doesn't mean he's going to get burned. His works get burned. But what's left is his salvation. He himself shall be saved. It plainly says at the end of verse 15, 1 Corinthians 3:15. Look at Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that was verse 4, look at verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, that's not some different body. There is one body. And that's the body of Christ. Right here it's referred to as one body in Christ. So it doesn't mean that the other is more specific. This is less specific. Okay, the other is true and this is true. They're both true. They're both the body of Christ. This one doesn't name that. It names one body in Christ, which is true also. So let's see some believers in the gospel of the circumcision, for instance, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, Cornelius, Nicodemus, some of those people, and then we'll see some believers in Paul's gospel of Christ. Gaius. Some of the people that he mentions there at the end of those chapters, end of the epistles, I should say. And then we'll see some accounts in the scripture where the two separate groups interact with each other. So first let's find the believers in the gospel of the circumcision in Samaria. And we'll look in Acts 8 for that. The gospel... Let me rephrase that. The Israel had fallen in Acts 7, committing their unforgivable sin, but they fell all the way as a nation. But God, there were some believers still, and God didn't desert them. And there was, so He says, there's going to be a diminishing going on until they're cut off at the casting away at the end of Acts 28. So during that diminishing, the next chapter after they fell, in Acts 8 here, we can see the gospel being offered to individuals that were in the crowd there in Samaria. So now that's the gospel of Israel, of a kingdom coming. That's not our gospel by which we're saved from the wrath of God. So we're going to read Acts 8, verses 4 through 8. Let me just get a sip first. Hold on. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. In other words, preached about who Christ is, what, you know, the name of Christ, his identity, made him known to them. That's the gospel of God, God's testimony of who Jesus is. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing, so they heard, seeing the miracles which he did. Miracles have to do with signs, have to do with Israel. The people, Israel, the Jews require a sign. So that's all Israel stuff going on. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies, and that were lame were healed. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Let's go down to verse 12, and we're going to have to close here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. No, won't. Monday. We'll pick it up Monday. But verse 12 says, and when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Both, and it's interesting that it mentions both men and women. The kingdom of God, and now this was in Acts, not in Matthew. Matthew is the only place that differentiates between the general kingdom, overall kingdom and rulership of God, and that outpost of that kingdom in heaven that's coming to earth to rule on earth 1,000 years and more, with Israel ruling over the nations. But he says that Philip was preaching, it tells what he was preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. So that's the gospel of God and the circumcision, about circumcision gospel about the kingdom of God. So, I'm done for now.